We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Oh, got a fight. Thornton and Rebbe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hour number two, and it's a pleasure and an honor to introduce, and well, not introduce, everyone knows who he is, but welcome back onto the show, Jody Shelley, who just kind of casually says, you know, I said, hey, give me a wave so we know that you're not frozen. And he said, no, I'm not frozen. I'm just watching the highlights here. He goes, where are the goals?
You got a few goals.
Yeah,
I so got River.
I got four and an empty netter. Well, four including an empty netter. So
what were you doing out there with an empty net?
Came out of the penalty box late in the game.
Ah, and the coach is waving you over, and
you're
like, no,
how fast he picked up on that?
Yes. I did. Did you ever have an empty netter, Jody?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, I got that over you. So what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Everything's good. Yeah, I'm hanging out in Columbus. The summer's kicked off. We got some rain around here now, but the Blue Jackets have been in the headlines, seems like, all season long. But right now we're enjoying a bit of a down period.
It's nice to hear you and Rivs catch up. You guys played together.
We did.
Back in San Jose. How long were you guys together there?
Was it 2 years, Rivs? Were you there?
Yeah, I'd say two years.
Yeah, I was there for 2 years.
Yeah, year and a half.
I think you were there the whole time. We had a great, boy, we were part of a great team. And people ask some great moments. I tell you, the teams that I was with in San Jose, there with River, were highlights of my career in the respect of we should have won a Stanley Cup. And I think we look back at that. I don't know, Rivs, we haven't caught up, but I look at those teams and think, boy, we missed an opportunity there.
Yeah, we were loaded. I think the 1 year that we actually were the favorite to win the Stanley Cup and just ran into some really, really tough teams and just couldn't. That's how hard it is. I mean, it's hard to win a Stanley Cup. It's hard to get it done. But I'll tell you this, my time in San Jose was probably one of the most memorable and my favorite years. And it was only because we won a lot of games and we were one of the top teams in the league. But the players, the group of guys that we had on that team was the tightest team I've ever seen that I've ever been on. You know, you sit there and you make a phone call to go to dinner, you know, on other teams, you know, you may go to dinner with three, four or five guys. I'm not kidding you when I say this. We would make a phone call, a reservation. There'd be 17, 18 guys show up to every single dinner. And the only guys that didn't show up is guys that had basically family or something in town. Those are the only reason why. It was incredible. Really incredible. Good times.
You miss it, Jody? You miss it? We have you on. We've had you on in the past. I mean, you know, like we talk a lot of fighting and what's going on in the league now. But do you miss that and everything that we had to do, but you had to do, you know, in your role? And not win. Does that sting a little bit, or is that bother?
I don't miss it. I regret. I shouldn't say regret. I wish I'd been a part of a Stanley Cup championship team. It amazes me now to be done and to look at the dynamics of the team and think of, you know, reference points that I had in locker rooms, just people I was around. You know, that 1 year we had Rob Blake, Dan Boyle, guys that had won championships. Jeremy Roenick was there looking for his first. Claude Lemieux was brought in. It was just an interesting dynamic. And to think of, you know, and you watch now this time of year, the teams that are pushing and the luck they have to have and the things that have to align. It's a head scratcher at times to think of teams that don't get it done. But when you look at the magic that some teams capture at the end of the first round into the second round, it is, there's a lot of reasons why it's the hardest trophy. It's not just the sacrifice and the health of your team, but you got to have that little bit of luck and a few bounces on your side. And I don't regret anything. I think I milked it all. I milked the whole thing the whole time.
We're still milking it, aren't we? Aren't we? We are still milking the game. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG, joining the show is Jody Shelley. And, you know, I guess we'll start with this. I mean, you mentioned Columbus has been in the headlines quite a bit. And what's going on there in Columbus? I mean, over the years, some star players have left. Seth Jones would like to go, you know, Tortorella's not back anymore. You know, what's going on with Columbus?
Well, 6 years ago, John Tortorella got here. It was a team that's kind of a mixed bag. And then they found an identity, which is a word that's thrown around a lot, and standard, which is one he set. But he did that. He brought this team to something that this fan base is proud of. Hardworking, in your face, fast, never a moment off, relentless. You know, every team that left the building each night said, boy, you know, they take a bite out of you. And that's the way they played. They brought in skill with Panarin when they lost in the playoffs 4 years ago to Pittsburgh. They didn't have the game breaker. Somehow they got Panarin. You know, Panarin's a kid that came over from Russia that chose Chicago, got traded to Columbus for 2 years. And then when he was a free agent again, he chose to go to New York. I don't blame him for that. Bobrovsky was never offered a contract here. That's too big of a deal for this team to put around. And then, you know, the team last season, They had a lot of injuries, not this season just passed, but the previous season. They had a lot of injuries, and they really squeezed them. They pushed and pushed and made it into the bubble, beat Toronto in the first in that preliminary round. Then they got in. And, you know, they did some good things, but they ran out of steam. And this year coming in, you know, the pieces that have been moved out, you know, Dubois leaves at the beginning of the year. Anderson is a part of a core, a team that won in the American Hockey League with Anderson. You know, that's a big piece gone. Then Foligno is gone because of a, you know, the when you get to the trade deadline, you have an asset that's a free agent. You got to get something. They got a first round pick for him. So when you look at a guy like Seth Jones, who's talking about leaving town, you know, he's a part of it earlier before Torts got here. He watches the momentum build. And now you see it going on the other side of the hill and you think, well, is this what I want to be a part of? So that's just where they're at right now. They couldn't sustain the momentum. Some pieces left, and now Torts is out, and this team is in a totally different place.
Do you ever go back and think to yourself, what if? And what I mean by that is, you know, Torts got brought in, and you said a mixed bag of tricks. Mm-hmm. He started to solidify his group, taught them the way he wanted them to play. Tough team to play against. Needed a game breaker, went and got the game breaker. And Temi Panarin comes in and he takes this team to another level. And then all of a sudden you start adding pieces. I think you added DeShane and DeZingle and all mm-hmm. these guys. And you take out the first team four straight in the first round. And you see some incredible pieces growing and moving forward. Then all of a sudden the next year, you lose a number of those pieces. Do you ever think about, you know, what could have been if you would have kept those pieces and continue to allow those young players at the time that were pretty young to continue to get better, what that team would be like right now?
Oh, yeah. And I look at the year that they lost, you know, they beat Tampa in the first round, then they hit Boston. And you think of a sweep, the momentum you take into that next series, but I think it was just experience that took them down. And then from there, you know, Panarin and Bobrovsky move along. You hope that residue on those young players like Dubois, who was here, who played with Panarin and watched how at his 165 pounds, he competed and he expected that when he gave you the puck, that you were responsible enough to keep the play alive and keep things moving in the right direction. You know, I talk about the unspoken language in hockey, and Panarin, I mean, if you're on the ice with him, you understood where you had to drive to be. And it was amazing to watch him and Dubois and Atkinson work without the puck to be available to keep those plays moving. And I think that took a tick backwards when he left. And then, of course, Dubois leaving. So that top line was gone. Yeah, but when you look at that with the goaltending, with the magic of the sweep of the first round, that's really where you look at the momentum, the pinnacle of this organization. And then the next year, River, when you look at the bubble, they beat Toronto and then they face Tampa. And the first game within 48 hours goes five overtimes. And if Columbus gets that goal against Tampa, you know they're right back in their kitchen. You just know it,
yeah.
Right? After sweeping them and then game one, having that opportunity to go five overtimes and win it, that's where I think the momentum completely, not completely, but when you look back, that's a pivotal moment where you say, what if? Because if they beat Tampa in game one of the first round after sweeping them the previous year, those guys have got to be thinking, how the heck do we beat this team? They just have our number.
Yeah. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. We're joined right now with Jody Shelley, Columbus Blue Jackets color analyst. And now I'm doing a great job, by the way, on the NHL Network, Jody, throughout the playoffs. Obviously, you know, here in Buffalo, they're in the headlines too, eh? I mean, I'm sure you've probably heard that. And obviously a lot of trade talks and different things, and there are different needs for a lot of teams. But Sabres need a goalie. Columbus has two, and it sounds like they might trade one. Do you think they could trade one? And which one, if the Sabres had to choose, would you choose from?
Well, that's a good question. They're both great goalies. Korpisalo is a player that came up in the system here, backed up Bobrovsky. He's a big guy. He's lanky. He understands. He really, from Bobrovsky, he learned how to work. I mean, work at an elite level on every part of his game, every part of his body. So he's an interesting one, but the most, the guy that is very, he's full of charisma. He loves the grind of a scramble situation. He doesn't need predictability in front of him, is Elvis Merzlikins. This guy likes to be in the spotlight too. Torts had to tell him at one point, 2 years ago, he tried to clear a puck in Winnipeg. It was a 5-4 lead late. I think it was under 2 minutes in the third period. And he decides to be the guy to not to go out and play the puck, but to go up the middle of the ice, turn over, one pass in the back of the net. And Torts said, this is not, that winning is not about you. You have to understand that being in North America, you are a piece of the team. And from there, he's blossomed. I would think more value for the Blue Jackets would be in Elvis. If I was you guys, it's a toss up. But I mean, if you're looking for a guy that can maybe galvanize and be in the spotlight, take Elvis. If you're looking for a guy to quietly come in and just stop the puck, take Korpisalo.
No, see, I want the flash.
Okay, Elvis. There's only one Elvis in the league.
Yeah, and it's funny, and I said that too. I think we did a diss or dad with Marty, Korpisalo or Merzlikins, and I was like, I want Elvis because he's got some sizzle to his personality. He's fun, and he's they're obviously both very good goalies. Now, granted, again, that doesn't necessarily win you games. I'm saying that from the standpoint of a broadcaster who wants to enjoy watching a guy, what I mean? But not from the standpoint of a team. Go ahead, Rip.
I was just going to say they're both great goaltenders, and they both had success, and they're both around the same age. I think they're 27, so they're right at that prime age. But I remember listening to Marty. I think Marty was the one that was talking about Elvis, where his save percentage was a little bit better and a little bit higher than Korpisalo. But both goaltenders are fantastic, and we definitely need a goaltender here. So it'd be interesting to see if a deal can be made.
Yeah. Instigators, Jody Shelley joining us. Yeah, well, it says that Columbus wants a centerman for a goalie.
I mean, that's one of their needs. I mean, they're really weak down the middle right now. That's their biggest need. And I look at this team now, though, and I wonder, with Seth Jones saying that he's going to move along, will this team go into a full rebuild? Will this organization take all of its assets and push them on the table and try to go after that piece or that player, that cornerstone player that maybe they can, look at a guy like Braden Point. He's not available. But he's a guy, if you could get him in your organization as a cornerstone piece, what would it take to make that happen? I think that's the mentality that they may go in is where they say, hey, all bets are off. We need a piece or a personality or two to build this around and then go from there. So, I would say that, the centerman would have to be a player that would fit the, tick three or four boxes of being the character, the skill, and the person that they want to build it around.
Jody Shelley joining us here, color commentary with the Columbus Blue Jackets, former longtime NHL player, and doing some work with the NHL Network. Speaking of the NHL playoffs in full swing, and obviously suspensions have been a topic that we've all kind of touched on, right? So where, what's your thought with the game? What was your thought with the Scheifele hit, the Kadri hit? You know, the suspensions and just kind of the game overall with the physicality and where it's at.
You know, Peter, this is pretty ironic that you and I are talking suspensions, but I'd say, you know, we have a pretty good view of this. And you know, when I'll tell you the honest truth, when I watched the Scheifele hit with my 12-year-old son, we reacted to the modern day reaction, the Twitter, the instant, oh my goodness, what just happened? That was terrible. You know what I mean? It was a bad hit. It was a high hit. We went immediately to that. And then as I sat back, I thought, okay, game one, you're up by a goal. There's less than a minute left or around a minute, and you have an empty net. First of all, when you go for a wraparound, there is a feeling, I don't care what part of the game it is, there is a feeling in your stomach, like a feeling like, uh-oh, I'm going to take a lick here. That's with the goalie in. I'm talking regular play. But when you go for a wraparound with an empty net, you have to suspect a hit. And I don't think Evans put himself in a situation to expect a hit. Now, I hope he's okay. I don't like the optics of the hit. I don't like that it was high. But I think that the way that he was not prepared to take a hit put Scheifele in an even worse situation. You know what I mean? And I say that with all respect to hockey and the game and the hits and the high hits and the suspensions, because when you're bracing for a hit, you're in a different posture. And I almost feel like late here in this hit, you think that Scheifele's saying, okay, at some point he's going to turn his shoulder or let up. You know, if you're on the ice by yourself, I think you attack the way they did there, but I just don't see it. I hate the hit the way it was, but I think there's a responsibility on Evans to say, I'm attacking an empty net in game one. We're up by one, to say, brace yourself for the hit. The puck might not go in, but to me, he looks like he's not even expecting it. And that just puts the whole thing in a bad situation.
Sounds like you might have thought a lesser penalty then.
What?
A lesser penalty might have.
Yeah, I don't think four games. I was surprised he got four. And I know there's a lot of writers out there that think he should have got 10. I don't know. I've been in that situation. I know. I just think that there's a certain part of it, and I don't want to sound like a caveman because I'm not. I love the game where it's at, but I think there's a certain onus on the player. Maybe there's a better way to put it than onus on the player. I just think that I can't comprehend doing a wraparound and not expecting to get run over. Not, you know what I mean? And then the Kadri hit, I just thought that he knows better. It was too reckless at a critical part of the time. I think that, you know, he was expecting to catch a different part of him, but he was going so fast. Both players are going so fast that I think they got that one. They got it right. But, you know, the message of if you're looking directly just at the Scheifele hit, yeah, it looks terrible. It looks like a car crash. But to break it down and think about it, I think he might have should have gotten two games, but I thought one was enough.
I like Craig's smiles over there. I mean, Craig. Yeah,
listen, I mean, We have talked about this at length, and I always go back, and we never talk about this, but where is the onus on the players to protect yourself? You're in a playoff game and you're up 4-3, minute left in the game, and you're going to do a little wraparound and not think that you're going to get run over? Then
you got to be brave,
on, man.
River.
You should be suspended for three games.
You got to be brave to take the puck above the goal line. You have to be brave. And to me, at an empty net in game one, what you're saying, boy, you better be ready for, you know what I mean? You might have three guys coming at you there.
And then Petey says to me the other day, he's like, well, these younger guys just don't know how to take hits anymore. I'm like,
I didn't
what?
Say it like it was, I wasn't saying it like I was being empathetic or sympathetic. I was saying it like
I threw that in there.
Yeah, yeah. You changed the tone of the comment clearly. He always does this, eh, Jody? Like changes. He
that's suits. What he heard. That's what he heard. I get what he's saying. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I only
he's
heard
stay on top of you, Petey. I know.
Yeah, I only heard what I thought I heard. Instigators are being joined right now with Jody Shelley. What have you thought of the playoffs? Great to see fans back, but
yeah,
who's going to win this?
Man, that is a great question. You look what Vegas has done to Colorado now and how they've stepped up their physical game. And you know, when you think of speed, when you go to work on what was done to the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, they took away Connor McDavid's speed by just staying right in his hip pocket. And you see that a little bit with Makar, McKinnon, you know, the way that Vegas has now just gone straight at those guys. It's a different style of game. I think Tampa, I would have said Colorado 4 days ago, but now I go back to the experience of Tampa. And I just think that, you know, they have such skill, such speed. I just love the way they play the game. They've won and they want to win again. You know, it's been a long, trying season. And now that they have fans back, the emotions back in the game, they've got to be so excited. I mean, you look at the two buildings, Tampa and Vegas, all the buildings
Long
are packed.
Island.
Long Island. I mean, that place is gross to play anyways, because the fans are so great. I mean, they're so passionate. And as an away team, they do exactly what they need to do to make you uncomfortable. But
do you guys remember the guy in the corner of Nassau Coliseum who had the Rangers suck shirt, and he had the glitter hair and the hat, yeah, the hard hat. Do you remember him? And he always had all the players sign his Rangers suck shirt. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. He used to hang out in the parking lot too.
Yeah. Yeah. He was always out there. Instigators. Jody, we have a video we want to show you of our boy Riv, happened on Friday.
Okay.
And you look like you're still in pretty good shape, Jody. You still work out?
I play tennis. I play tennis. So I'm not in good shape, but
you're long and lean. You're long and lean.
I'm long and lean. Yeah.
You're long and
What's
lean.
What's with you two with the tennis?
You play tennis?
No, Petey.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, awesome. I wouldn't say that I'm a tennis player. I say that I have played tennis. I like tennis. I love watching
it.
Tennis.
Yeah, Petey's been working out now for the last couple months.
Hey, it looks good.
Is take off his shirt and he wants to play tennis with his Yvonne.
Well, it's funny you talk about taking off your clothes, Riv, because Jody, this is what happened on Friday. Check out the monitor. This happened. Show us a quad.
You want me to rip some?
Yes.
Some
let me see your quad. We have 1 minute. Show us your quad.
Yes.
There you go.
That's look
are
at
you
the size
serious?
That thing.
Look, you're like a Clydesdale.
Your golf shorts have a tough time fitting over your quad. Like, look,
buddy,
at the size.
You are built for speed. Those pockets are bursting.
I'm going to tell you right now. I love hanging around you guys because my confidence level has never been higher in this moment right now.
that was Craig. That was Craig on Friday. Check this out. Here's the tweet of the day right here. Here's the tweet of the day. I think do we have the tweet of the day ready? I send it to Jeff in the studio there. Maybe we don't have it. Oh, here it is. So it's Magnum PI in the short shorts with the quads getting out of the Ferrari. And some guy tweets in, this is Riv heading into the golf course. Because I asked him, Jody, I said, if you're rocking quads like that, you got to have like a 7-inch inseam.
Yes.
He was wearing 11. Like, you've got cargo pockets on those golf shorts too, Riv? Jeez, the 11-inch inseam?
You may as well put slacks on, Riv.
I just told you I went down to the 9-inch seam, Petey.
He went to the 9-inch. Capri Rive. Jody, we're out of time. And we actually know that you have an 11:33 interview in Columbus, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
You get tired of this stuff?
No, I love it. I love talking hockey, catching up with you guys. You guys do a great job, too. Whenever I need a good source of information, I tune into you guys because you guys and your guests are awesome. So thanks for having me on.
Wow, there's a hell of a plug. Well, we'll get you on again soon. Thank you, Jody.
Can
you,
thanks, guys.
Don't be sure. We'll send you some merchandise. You can wear it on the NHL Network, okay? I know. I never thought I could like a guy who broke my rib and gave me a concussion in the same fight as much as I like you right now, Jody.
Come on.
Thanks for your time, buddy.
Right,
appreciate
guys.
It.
My All right, pleasure. Take it's good seeing you.
Yeah, good to see you. Jody Shelley, kind enough to join us here, does great work on the NHL Network. He does the play-by-play color commentary for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he's a friend of the show. We'll be right back. Instigators, WGR 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
How about those ribs, eh, Riv?
Instigators.
WGR 550 and MSG.
So anyone out there that's listening right now, Andrew was telling me a story about a altercation that Andrew had with Jody Shelley.
Our last guest.
One of our last guests. A fight that he had, and Jody Shelley ended up breaking some ribs with a body shot that he gave Andrew.
He dislocated permanent. Like I can tell you is I couldn't, if I was driving in the car and I hit a bump, I felt like I honestly couldn't breathe for about a minute.
So at the break,
so bad.
You stood up and you showed us the ribs that were dislocated, and they're still dislocated.
Yeah,
that's disgusting.
Yeah, I remember the first person I ever saw have one of those was Rob Ray, and I don't know how he got it. I was like, "What is that? How's that happen?" And here I am,
yeah,
with a rib that sticks out probably like 2 inches.
Does that bother you at all?
It bothers me a lot.
Really,
it bothers me all the time. I mean,
so how do you fix that? Like, how do you like?
I don't know. They cleared me after. They cleared me at the end of the year. Said I was fine. I'm like, should we do something about this? They're like, no, you're good. I was like, okay. I don't know what would happen to me if I got body checked right now. Like if I went back and played the next year, and I don't know if I really got hit after. I played a little bit after. I retired in the middle of the next year. I didn't retire. I quit. But there's a big difference. But, yeah, it's really weird. But anyway, yes, it does affect me, but that's no big deal. Instigators, WGR 550. And MSG's part of the craft, eh, Riv? He was fun to have on. He does a great job. And you said, did you have any influence in getting him into San Jose?
Oh yes, I did.
Oh yes, you did.
Yes, I did. It was interesting. I got called up to the office of Doug Wilson at the time, who was GM in San Jose, and sat down in his office, and he asked me flat out, what do you think this team needs to continue to push, you know, for a championship? At that time, we had one of the best players in the world in Joe Thornton, who had just the year before won the scoring title, and Patrick Marleau, and I mean, Joe Pavelski, Jeremy Roenick was there. We had a really, Jonathan Chichu, I think, who won the scoring title the year before with 54, if I'm not mistaken. We had a really good hockey team. We had a really solid defense core. We had great goaltending in Evgeny Nabokov, who was outstanding. But we needed, back in the day, back in the, 2006, 2007, the Western Hockey League, or the West, was super tough. Like, I mean, heavyweight after heavyweight, it was really tough, those guys. And I told him, I said, I think that we need a heavyweight to protect our young guys and our star guys. We need a guy that can come in and help out with the heavy lifting. And they went and got Jody Shelley. It probably was like a week later that we ended up acquiring Jody.
Man, I wish I had you speaking on my behalf sometimes, because you never, I've never heard a guy take more credit for guys ending up on his team than you. We needed, I'm almost convinced Regine Houle at the draft, after he came up to you and said, what do we need, Riv? And you said, you need to draft Craig Rive in the third round right here. And that's what happened. That's how you ended up to be a Montreal Canadian, isn't it? Why do GMs always ask you what we need? You have a mind of a GM, don't you?
No. I think I had a mind of, you know, just being in the room and being around the players and understanding the pulse of the team. And I was never an elite hockey player, but I think that I was a piece to the puzzle. And
did tough guys really make that much of a difference? And I ask you that, even though that was my role, I ask you that because I always felt appreciated. I really did.
Yeah.
As being the lowest man on the totem pole, I always felt very appreciated on all my teams.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that I felt like I knew that I was like making guys feel safer or, you know, like, I mean,
most definitely.
I've had guys
You go back here in Buffalo. Do you think the guys going back into the early 90s, do you actually think right now that those guys appreciated that Rob Ray was on their team?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
You better believe it that they did, because he took,
but I didn't know what kind of a difference I was making
over the year. And
I didn't make myself feel more safe. I was the guy supposedly making everybody else feel safe. So I had to come.
You're not go and ask Tim Connelly. Go and get him on. You know him well.
If every who?
Tim Connelly. Go and ask Derek Roy. Go and ask Clark MacArthur. Go and ask those guys that you grew up with.
I don't need the validation. That's not what I'm saying.
No. But
what I'm saying is that if they knew how scared I was, they probably would have said, "Don't bring this guy to the fight."
Yeah. Well, listen, and that's why that night in St. Louis, when you fought like two of the toughest guys in the National Hockey League, and we walk into the dressing room, I'm looking at our bench and no one's standing up, and you got all the little cupcakes, drinking water bottles as you're getting, bombs thrown at your head. And we go into the dressing room and I lost my marbles because I'm going to tell you right now, we all have jobs. And all the jobs are different. Some guys are goal scorers. Some guys are playmakers. Some guys are penalty killers. Some guys are energy players. There's all different types. There's all different types of pieces that you need in order to win. Okay. But let me tell you something. A hockey player back in the 2000s, that it was a tough job. The guys were so big, so strong, and so dangerous. They were ultimate fighters on skates that were 6'5", 6'6", 250, 60, 70 pounds. And these guys trained to hurt each other. And it was dangerous. And to have these guys on the bench, not even stand up and maybe give a little stick tap on the bench is totally unacceptable. That's the way.
Those players were a different generation of players. There's no question.
They were dangerous.
They were the next generation.
I've been sitting here for 5 years. I've been talking about the Buffalo Sabres for 5 years. I think they've lacked physicality. They've lacked toughness. Am I asking for them to go out and get a fighter? No, I'm not asking them to go get a fighter. I've never said, we've said this multiple times. Every time we talk about this, Petey.
Even me being a fighter, I agree.
We have to validate what we're trying to say. Always have to say, listen, we're not looking at get a heavyweight. No, we want guys that have size and physicality and energy and that are going to make our top players and our young players feel really comfortable. Have you ever watched Jonathan Marchessault? You know who I'm talking about?
Oh my God. Yeah. He was a heavyweight.
5'9", 170 pounds, soaking wet with a weight vest on him. And the guy walks around like he's the toughest guy in the league. You want to know why he's the toughest guy in the league? Because he's got Ryan Reeves there and Will Carrier there and Keegan Kolstad there and
Brady McNabb
there. And they have team toughness. They have guys that can help out. You know, even their captain, Mark Stone, is not a fighter. He's a Selke Trophy candidate, but he's there to play the game the right way. But you need to have size and physicality to add energy and to make your stars feel very comfortable. Well, do you think Jack Eichel's felt comfortable? Sam Reinhart?
How about Dahlin at the start of the year against Philadelphia?
Getting knocked in the face.
Punched right in the face in that 6-1 Philadelphia game, like fourth or fifth.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's a guy at the start of the year. It literally, I think it was on Long Island. And he got ran. And then after he ran Dahlin, he gave him the business. And Dahlin is a young guy and he's trying to stick up for himself, but he's probably scared to be Jesus because he's not a fighter. I'm going to tell you right now, that player that did that, every single minute of that game and every game after would have, he's going to think it's a nightmare. He's going to know when Buffalo Sabres come into town because of what he did to Rasmus Dahlin. And you set a standard. You're not going to touch our young guy. Look at Matt Barzell. Look at the little Matt Barzell flying around like a water bug. He's got jammed to his game. He's got a little physicality, a little cockiness, a little rough and toughness. You know, you want to know why? He's got the boys behind him that are all backing him up, that toughness. So they play with a different, you know, outlook and they do things right.
Speaking of fighting, did you see Taylor Hall got in a scrap against the Islanders the other night?
Yeah.
I called my dad this morning, say good morning, talk to my parents pretty much every day. My dad's reading old news. This was a Saturday article from the National Post from Bruce Garriott, and it was all about how Taylor Hall's adjusted defensively in Boston, and he's just playing great, and they love him there. And, you know, like Jordan Eberle talking about his defensive game and Cassidy, and I'm just kind of like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
My dad was trying to depress me before the show. I was like, man, we don't need to hear that. He's not here anymore, Dad. He's not a Saber anymore. But do you think he came here? Look, I'm going to ask you this, and we got to go to break, but do you think he came here? I hate to accuse a player of maybe not giving it his all and playing to not get hurt, but was he playing to just kind of not get hurt until he got traded or what? Because, like, what's going on here? Like, how I don't care what players.
I don't think that the start was great. You know, Taylor Hall came on to a team that had not played a game in 10 months with the quarantine and everything else, 10 months. And it just seemed like it took some time for some of our players to get going. And when, you know, you start and you want to have a fresh start to the season and things don't go well, you know, it was a little bit up and down to start our season. And then that COVID outbreak hit our team and it knocked a lot of our players on their butts. I just don't think we ever recovered from that point. And we were very respectable up to that point.
Oh, for 10 months off and getting smacked around your first game, like 6-1 or something against Washington.
But then we solidified some good hockey.
Yes. There was
and we were solid in a solid position. And then all of a sudden.
With an injured Jack, by the way.
With an injured Jack.
We got to go to break. When we come back, I need to remind everybody, mystery guest on Wednesday. I think Rob Ray is going to join us Wednesday, most likely. Normally always does. Tomorrow, Marty's with us. Thursday, Elliot. Friday, Darren Dreger. Elliot Friedman on Thursday, Darren Dreger on Friday. And when we come back, something that Craig will or will not care about. Find out what it is.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Time now for things Craig won't care about. Okay, so I've never heard of these Logan Paul guys. I thought they were the same guy, but I guess there's two of them.
Yeah.
Two Paul guys?
Brothers, yeah.
Two Pauls. We got two Paul.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Paul 1, Paul 2. Logan Paul, because I only know that because his name is in front of me and there's another Paul. And then the Paul score, the Team Canada game-winning goal yesterday.
Lots of Pauls going on.
Paul that we should be talking about. But Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather fought last night. And they went the distance. Care or don't care?
I don't care. This complete joke. As far as I'm concerned, you know, Logan Paul and his brother are the internet sensations, social media guys,
and maybe the greatest self-promoters ever.
Yeah, I mean they've done nice job building their empire with junk, but Floyd Mayweather he's the greatest boxer of all time. I mean, and how old is Floyd Mayweather? He's got to be 40.
He's in his 40s.
Yeah,
he's definitely in his 40s.
But I'm going to tell you, he still looks fantastic. I mean, and
I got to be honest with you, Riff. I got to be honest with you. I did not know. I put my son to bed last night. I was sitting on the sofa relaxing. And I went, I'm starting to kind of gather some content for the show, right? And I came across this, and I got to tell you, I was very tempted. I was very tempted to order the fight. And what prevented me from ordering the fight was I wanted to be one of the people that didn't waste their time on this. I just thought, number one, it's not going to happen until midnight. And you know me, Riv. Mm-hmm. You know me. 11 o'clock hits and I'm not in bed. I'm in trouble tomorrow. So that was the other thing.
Yeah.
So I guess I really didn't care. I guess I would consider this more of a clown show, but it's entertainment is what people are wanting it for. Right. But I don't know what else to tell you.
Here's the thing. Are you ordering because you want to watch to see what Floyd Mayweather does, or are you ordering because you're a fan of Logan Paul and want to see, these guys shoot their mouth off? And,
I was ordering because I was hoping that Floyd Mayweather would break this guy's jaw and have to have it wired shut for a little bit.
You got to understand, the size difference in these two
for a couple
men,
months.
The size difference on these two men were huge. Logan Paul was 45 plus pounds heavier than a Floyd Mayweather.
Well, you're had him 45. By,
what's that?
No, I was saying, speaking of 45, we only have 45 seconds left. What about golfer John Rahm?
Yeah, tough
six
day
under,
for him.
Told he has COVID, has to leave the course. I mean, when you saw this video, you would have thought that they told him
No.
Died.
He was leading the tournament by six strokes.
Oh, he's leading the tournament by six strokes.
Leading the tournament. He was
devastating.
Walk in to win this thing. $1.7 million purse. They had to ask him to leave.
Wouldn't you have thought if you saw the video that you would have thought they told him someone died? Right?
Yeah, he was devastated.
One Bills Live next. Think you have an exciting show. We're back tomorrow with Marty. Instigators, we're out. WGR 550 and MSG. Thanks for tuning in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.